Now we present an encore presentation of Protect Your Assets with David Hollander.
Well, an explosion in Kabul, Powell speaking at Jackson Hole, and the Delta variant news didn't do much to this market as it hit all-time highs again in the U.S. markets. Despite all that news, the U.S. stocks hit new all-time highs again last week, bringing the tally to more than 50 record closes so far this year. The Dow was up 1%, S&P up 1.5%, NASDAQ up 2.8%, and the 10-year bond has remained flat at 1.31%. And oil closed up at 68.73 per barrel. So this week, of course, the main news that came out all of a sudden on Thursday was the ISIS attack on U.S. forces to try and stop our ongoing evacuation of folks from Afghanistan. And of course, that hit the news, but stocks weren't necessarily fazed by that. And then Friday, we were all waiting to hear from Fed Chair Powell, because of course, the Fed is really the one thing that could derail this entire market. And so Powell was speaking at Jackson Hole, and there was really no surprises in that conversation that he was having with everybody. And it looks like we're not going to hear any tapering news now at all until the September 22nd meeting. That is the next time the Fed will get together. And so what he did say is that you're likely to see some sort of curtailing or not as much purchasing of bonds. Right now they're doing around $15 billion, can you believe that, per month. And so that should stop in December at this point. That's what the market is anticipating. And then we shouldn't see any sort of rate increase by the Fed until mid to late next year is what we're still hearing and seeing, and the market's obviously showing that. He also said, interestingly enough, that the Delta variant is only temporary to employment getting back to full swing. And he still thought that there's still quite much more ground to cover, quote, that's what he said, more ground to cover until the full employment is back on track. So why would he be saying something about the Delta being temporary? And why is the market at this point, clearly this past week, start to think that COVID has peaked? And I think part of the reason for this, why stocks are getting to new all-time highs, is because over the last week, we've seen markets adopting the view that the Delta wave in the U.S. has peaked. And as such, the economic headwind that's associated with that has also peaked. And that's important because if this is the worst of any COVID-inspired economic slowdown, then the macroeconomic outlook still remains pretty good. And overall, the economy, as it's getting stronger, will continue to recover and, believe it or not, get bigger. So the main reason for the growing view that COVID has peaked comes from something, I don't know if you're aware of this, the IHME. It stands for the Institute for Health Metrics and Evaluation. And it's essentially a healthcare think tank slash data aggregation organization that was founded in 2007 by the Gates Foundation and the state of Washington. And since 2020, they've been running prediction models on COVID trends, and they've been pretty accurate. And based on what we saw in India and in the UK Delta variant outbreaks, the IHME predicted that the peak of this COVID outbreak occurred on August 21st. And that prediction is largely being backed up by the positive rate of cases that's now down around down about 1% to 9.7% over the past few days. Hospitalizations, which are, as you know, a lagging indicator, but they give us insight into the peak of the cases, are now starting to fall. And the seven-day moving average of cases is also starting to roll over. So the IHME predicts that the daily new cases will drop by 40% over the next month and be down by more than 50% by October. So if the IHME is correct, then the strong economic recovery pillar of the rally will remain intact. And that's pretty medium-term bullish for stocks. And that's why you saw this week again some more all-time highs. It also means that the vaccine optimism, remember that's one of the pillars, the four pillars supporting the economy that we talk about, is intact. And so if we assume no Fed policy mistake on tapering, i.e. not raising rates too quickly, which right now doesn't look like it, and that we don't have anything major happen. Again, we saw the attack by ISIS, but it was relatively a blip in the radar for the market. So if anything, you know, nothing more major than that starts to occur, then I don't think we're going to see any problem overall. And so the other issue we have to confront probably before the end of the year is going to be fiscal. We could see tax increases, but as long as it's nothing major, then that means the four pillars of the rally will remain intact until at least the end of the year. And while that doesn't necessarily mean that the S&P 500 can go higher than the 4,500 benchmark we've been talking about, it does reduce the chance that we're going to see a, we'll call it, sustained decline or meaningful correction. Now, turning to the economy, you have to look at some of the economic data that's out there. This past week, the things we were looking at was the durable goods orders. And this was interesting because these are new orders for goods that factories order. And that gives us an insight into what's going on. Now, that did slip for the second month in July. And this headline for July was notable because it had about a 50% drop in new orders for non-defense aircraft and aircraft parts. So the bottom line is, while the durable goods order report pointed to supply chain constraints, remember I talked about that, where it's just a problem getting things delivered to be manufactured, and then therefore we're not getting things on time. And I'm sure many people can relate to that as you're waiting for your packages to arrive. This does not necessarily mean that there's labor market issues. And so ultimately, it looks still like we've got some pretty good economic growth heading out there. And that also means that the economy is not rolling over. So those are again, indicators that we look at that point to positive direction. And then, of course, the jobless claims number that came out Thursday, that edged up to 353,000. The estimate was around 340. So really close in line, I'd say. And the data, again, for the jobs front is pretty good. And the four-week moving average and the continuing claims figures have been falling to new pandemic lows. So this trend continues to point to steady, slow though, improvements in the health of the labor market. And with a large percentage of the nation being vaccinated and schools starting back up again around the country, I think we're going to see only the jobless claims numbers continue to do better as we look at that in the weeks and months ahead. So overall, things are looking pretty good. Next week, we're going to be taking a look at the consumer confidence, the hourly earnings, and the labor costs. All those things are coming up next. So again, that's our market segment.
You're listening to the Protect Your Assets Radio Network.